Play, a murder game played by people whose business is murder. And here to see Foul Play is your chairman, Simon Brett.
Hello, welcome to another murder mystery. And welcome also to the two intrepid guest investigators who are going to try and solve it. Both, as ever, are professional crime writers. Robert Barnard is a former professor of English who brings to his books not only a relish for language, but also a wickedly acerbic sense of humour. He is joined by another writer who has been guilty in her time of being funny, Lindsay Davis. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest investigators. And whoever gets murdered this week, there is one thing I can guarantee. The victim and all the suspects will be represented by the manifold voices of Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. Right, we won't hang around. Time for a crime. As we hear from Maria, the opening to this week's case, which is whimsically entitled Murder for Starters.
Everything was going well for the filming of the new lifestyle television programme, Mealtime Makeovers. The basic idea was simple. Unbeknownst to each other, two neighbours were set up to prepare dinners in each other's kitchens. Then they were filmed coming home to totally unexpected meals, with hilarious consequences. The cooking was supervised and criticised and improved on by tiny but popular television chef Nikolai Bunbury-Brooks. Meanwhile, appropriately gobsmacked reactions were wrung out of the ordinary people participants by the steely charm of popular presenter Caroline Sorrell. The audience particularly loved it when the participants tasted their neighbour's cooking for the first time. It was the big surprise of every week's programme. Not as big a surprise, however, as what awaited petite, ordinary suburban housewife Neris Jenkins when, in the face of the television cameras, she returned to her familiar kitchen, full of unfamiliar smells, because when she opened the door of her larder, she found inside it the dead body of her next-door neighbour, Trevor Dibley. He had been impaled through the neck and heart with kebab skewers, anointed with extra virgin olive oil, and garnished with shallots, baby sweet corn, and sun-dried tomatoes.
So, we have a murder in the world of cookery, or is it in the world of television? Well, it's rather hard to tell them apart these days. Bob and Lindsay, is there anything you've heard so far that set your finely tuned alarm bells jangling?
No.
No?
Okay, Bob, anything?
No, I'd like to know a bit more about this programme.
You would?
And how the television cameras were kept on in this neighbour's kitchen, presumably unknowing of the fact that somehow this neighbour had been murdered and put in the cupboard. And garnished, very well garnished.
Maybe it's a case of, you know, here's one I prepared earlier.
Yes, right.
I should think that's
that
probably
it. That explains it beautifully,
but
thank you.
I think basically it's the old foul play problem that you need more facts. So let's get you some more facts from the policeman in charge of the investigation, Detective Inspector Sergeant.
Mr. Dibley was at last seen alive at 4:30 p.m. in Mrs. Jenkins' kitchen when he completed preparing the dinner she was intended to eat later. And it was at 6:30 p.m. when Mrs. Jenkins found his body. During that period, the Mealtime Makeovers team were in the victim's own kitchen next door, filming the meal that Mrs. Jenkins was preparing for Mr. Dibley. Caroline Sorrell, the presenter of Mealtime Makeovers, had only a few short links to film and says she spent the afternoon alone in her trailer. Nikolai Bunbury-Brooks, however, oversaw the complete cooking process. He was, therefore, in Mr. Dibley's kitchen with Mrs. Jenkins for almost all of the relevant period. There was, however, a 15-minute break, round 5:45, when Mr. Bunbury-Brooks complained of a stomach upset and went to the bathroom. During this break, Mrs. Jenkins went into Mr. Dibley's sitting room. We have no corroboration for these alibis, and it would, in theory, have been possible for either Mr. Bunbury-Brooks or Mrs. Jenkins to get into Mr. Dibley's house through the adjoining back gardens.
Did anything you heard there help, Lindsay?
Obviously, I have to ask about this tummy upset. What had he eaten?
Yes, I mean, it could be an occupational hazard, couldn't it?
Really? Well...
It could be an occupational bar, actually, if it happened too often.
Indeed, yes. Does he wash his hands before handling cooked meat, one wonders?
And indeed after.
And indeed after.
Yes. Bob?
I'm a bit worried about the trailer. Could you tell me where the trailer is? Is it in the back garden?
Well, here's a map, actually. Look, if that's her house, that's his house... That's where the cameras were, then the trailer's just there.
Right, that makes it terribly clear, thank you.
Good.
And I'm sure the audience at home would have found it very illuminating.
Yeah, I think the problem is that you're still starved of facts. So let's find out a bit more about the case from some of the individuals involved in mealtime makeovers. And the first one we'll hear was given by the programme's much-loved presenter, Caroline Sorrell.
I don't know why you're talking to me. I never have anything to do with the Patsies. Sorry, I should explain. The Patsies are what we call the ordinary people. You know, the members of the public who come onto the programme and are made to look stupid. Anyway, I never have anything to do with them. Except when the camera's rolling, obviously. So, this Patsy, what was his name? Trevor Dibley, right. I knew nothing about him. Well, only what was on the sheets the researchers gave me, you know. He was an antiques dealer, I believe. Unmarried. A bit precious. Affected. I didn't say gay, no. It wouldn't be politically correct for me to comment on his sexual orientation. Anyway, he was totally unlike his next-door neighbour. What's her name? Neris Jenkins, that's right, yes. She's very drab, tiny, sort of self-righteous, salt-of-the-earth, ordinary sort of housewife. You could tell the difference between them from what they were cooking for the programme. His was all marinated and pan-fried and garnished with baby this and that, whereas hers was meat and veg and sponge pudding. I wouldn't have thought you'd have to look any further than her for your murderer. Obviously the motive was something that had been festering between them for years. You know, something local. Nothing to do with mealtime makeovers, anyway. Nikolai Bunbury-Brooks, yes. I get on with him. Well as you can get on with anyone who's got an ego that size. Go out with him? Oh, you're joking. He hardly comes up to my waist. No, I haven't decided whether I'll do the next mealtime makeover series or not. You know, the BBC and ITV have got a whole raft of projects lined up for me. Well, you know, there are so few presenters around who have a genuine rapport with members of the public.
Thank you very much, Miss Sorrell, or may I call you Caroline?
No, you may not.
Right, fine. Well, guest investigators, you now have 2 minutes to question Miss Sorrell in, I'm sure I don't need to tell you, an appropriate manner. Bob, you start.
Yes, I was interested in what you said about Neris Jenkins, because there seems to be some sort of stereotyping at work here. Generally, when people are talking about Welsh people, they're either dreary nonconformist people or they're randy as hell. You don't think Neris Jenkins could have combined those two aspects, do you?
Well, as I said, I mean, I'm very happy that you got a laugh out of that very witty little thing, but... I didn't really have anything to do with her, you know. I mean, she was just a member of the public. We have members of the public day in, day out, you know. They're there, they're not there.
And yet you go and sleep in your trailer in her back garden, which presumably...
Well, her back garden, anyone's back garden, you know. My trailer is my trailer.
Lindsay, maybe you can winkle some more out of this charmer.
Not confident of that, frankly. How long have you been doing mealtime makeovers?
This is the second series.
The second series. But now you're considering moving on. And you say that both the BBC and ITV are interested in...
Yeah, my agent is negotiating some sort of, you know, golden handcuffs deal. I haven't decided yet who I'm going to go with.
I see, that's very...
I think I'm more BBC myself, you know. ITV is a little common.
I may have been told this, but which one is Mealtime Makeovers on?
Mealtime Makeovers is BBC.
It is BBC.
You can tell
excellent.
From the production values. Bob, would you not...
Yes, I just wondered, why do you think the body was garnished in the grotesque way it was?
Rather amusing, isn't it? It's a shame we can't use the footage, really, because he looked rather gorgeous. I don't know. I mean, you know, these petty neighbourhood squabbles, you've only got to bring a camera in and everything gets magnified, you know what I mean?
I think it's interesting that he's actually garnished with the kind of food that he was himself going to prepare.
Well, I'm very pleased that you find it interesting. Personally, I couldn't give a toss, but...
Right, well, thank you very much, Miss Sorrell. You've been most...
No, you're welcome.
forthcoming. Anyway, it's time we move on to our second statement, which was given by the well-loved television chef, pint-sized pudding maker, Nikolai Bunbury Brooks.
What I've really achieved in cooking is to make the public realise that the exotic need not be beyond their range. But even though I've been trained by the best chefs in Europe, that doesn't mean an ordinary person can't... What? Oh, you want me to talk about this Drury Little murder? All right. I've no idea who murdered this patsy. What was his name? Trevor Dibley. Oh, was it? Very full of himself he was. Thought I might be interested in what he had to say about cookery. I do hate these people who ponce around pontificating about food, don't you? But no, not hate enough to murder. I hadn't really thought about it, but I would imagine he was killed as a result of some domestic dispute, a quarrel with a former lover or live-in partner. Caroline Sorrell. Yes, I get on with her. Well as you can get on with anyone who's got an ego that size. Fancy her. Good heavens, no. She's about as cuddly as a roll of barbed wire. I can't think she'd have anything to do with this murder, no. I mean, she's a bit of a slut, so far as men are concerned. Oh, yes, a few of the hunkier male patsies have been invited into Caroline's trailer for a bit of a quick... Well, a bit of unwinding. But I didn't get the impression our Mr. Dibley would have been that interested. Well, perhaps I'm wrong, though. Appearances can be deceptive. Neris Jenkins?
Who?
Oh, the other patsy. Oh, she's too boring to have murdered anyone, I'm sure. Do you know, she wouldn't even let me add any herbs to the OXO cubes she made her gravy out of. Or cook any baby sweet corn. What a peasant.
Thank you very much. Right, Bob and Lindsay, you have 2 minutes to cross-examine Nikolai Bunbury Brooks. Lindsay, maybe you'd like to put the first question.
You didn't observe, I suppose, whether between the two patsies there was any obvious antipathy. Did they hate each other or like each other?
I don't know, really. I don't think they got on.
Mm. You mentioned that Trevor Dibley had approached you and you obviously rebuffed him.
Sorry, I did what?
Approached you about his recipes, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah,
mean to imply that he had approached you in any other sort of way.
Actually, I think you did mean to imply that, didn't you?
Well, did he?
Did he what?
Approach you.
About what?
About anything.
Oh, yes, he wanted to talk to me about cookery, of course. He seemed to want to hold forth about his ideas on recipes. He didn't approach me about anything else, if that's what you're asking about.
Do you think he was hoping that something would come of his approach about cookery?
Most of the patsies who come on the programme do seem to harbour some strange desire to be on the television. They seem to think that their recipe will open up the world of television to them. Mm. Little do they know what a competitive and highly skilled job it is to stand in front of a camera and mix things in a bowl.
Without just falling on the floor. Yes, right. Just one final question. Is Nikolai your real name?
Yes.
Is Bunbury Brooks your real name?
Yes.
Gosh.
Some parents don't think, do they? Yeah. Bob, do you have some questions for me?
Yes, my experience of television cooks is they're either dreary little people whose recipes work infallibly, or they're personalities who have recipes that nobody in their senses would try.
I see, you've looked into this quite deeply.
Very definitely. Yeah. Which sort of television chef would you say? You were the personality one or the dreary little person?
I think
one?
My major strength is that I combine both. Right. That I have superb cooking credentials, and also a personality that people like.
And do they confide in you when you're in their kitchens?
Oh, yes, yes, they want to talk cooking all the time.
Did Neris confide anything to you, or did she ask
No,
Neris
was pretty resistant to my attempts to try and jazz up the dreary, dull stodge that she was preparing. And in fact, it was the fact that she was boiling to death her cabbage that brought on my stomach upset. I have the digestive resistance of a kitten.
And you never got onto a personal level with her at all? You never got any idea about her sexual preferences?
No, funnily enough, on mealtime makeovers, we tend not to discuss lesbianism too often.
No.
Thank you very much, Nikolai.
Not at all.
No, that's been great. It's wonderful to hear someone so modest. We move on now to our third and final statement, which was given to the police by housewife Neris Jenkins.
I was just so excited to be chosen on the programme. You know, the day of the recording would have been the happiest day of my life if it hadn't been for Trevor Dibley spoiling it, upstaging everyone else by getting murdered is, I have to say, entirely typical of the man. I don't know why he moved into this area. Round here, we're mostly traditional families, you know what I mean? Far be it from me to pass comment on somebody else's lifestyle, but I'd have thought someone like Trevor Dibley would have felt much more at home in London or Brighton or San Francisco. Well, I really enjoyed my afternoon's cooking. I was doing a nice joint of pork with roast potatoes, boiled cabbage and OXO gravy, then sponge pudding and custard for afters. Nikolai Bunbury Brooks did complain of an upset stomach. Funny, it was just after I said I thought the boiled cabbage needed another half an hour. I was quite glad of the break when Nikolai went off to the toilet. Yes, I was so excited that I could feel one of my stress headaches coming on. So I just went and had a sit down in Trevor's sitting room. No, I didn't see Caroline Sorrell during the afternoon. One of the researchers said it spoils Caroline's spontaneity if she spends time with the participants before the actual recording. Anyway, now thanks to Trevor Dibley, I'll never meet Caroline Sorrell. And I'll have to have my larder fumigated. Why he chose to get murdered in there, I'll never know. Just plain selfish as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thank you very much, Neris. If you wouldn't mind staying with us a little longer, our guest investigators have a few questions to put to you. Bob?
How much did you disapprove of Trevor's lifestyle?
Well, you know, what people do behind their closed doors, I don't mind, but sometimes, you know, he had outside parties in the summer. There were never any women there.
So he did it in the garden?
Well, I don't know what he did in the garden, but it wasn't digging.
What did you think about the kind of food that Mr. Dibley used to prepare?
Well, you know, I think it went with his lifestyle, you know.
Yeah, so you...
Not good honest food, you know, meat to veg. Upset. You put the meat in the oven, you leave it for 14 hours, you get it out and you eat it. I've got lots left over if you want to come for dinner.
I think I'd rather die than have that.
Thank you very much indeed, Neris. Bob and Lindsay, are you any nearer to fingering Trevor Dibley's killer? Lindsay?
Not really. It seems that everybody despises everybody else, but merely despising people is not usually a motive for murder.
They are people in television anyway, where it kind of goes with the territory.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I feel we still need a little bit more information.
I think you're absolutely right. Bob?
Yes, I'm bothered by the fact that two of them can hardly have known Trevor.
They say they haven't met him.
Yes.
But people have been known, particularly on this programme,
to lie. Yes.
You know, and I think one should always bear that in mind. Anyway, what you say is extremely interesting, but we have to move on, because the next part of our investigation... Oh, excuse me. There's someone knocking at my door, which is very strange, because... Up until this minute, I didn't know I'd got a door. Come in.
Sorry to trouble you, Mr. Brett.
No problem, Inspector Sergeant.
It's just that I thought you should hear the recording of part of an interview we conducted with Barry Quirk, the producer of Mealtime Makeovers.
Yes, I'd love to hear it. Thank you.
Well, the annoying thing is that we can't use the footage of Neris Jenkins actually finding Trevor Dibley's body. It's a bit of a bummer, because that really would be a television first. Yeah, I did find something that might be relevant to the murder. It was a scrap of paper I noticed on the kitchen floor just before we were going to film the Patsy opening her larder door. I picked the paper up just because it looked messy and completely forgot about it. Only noticed it this morning in the pocket of my blouson. It's a typewritten letter signed a TD, and it reads, "I know all about your involvement with the diminutive cook. Maybe we should get together to discuss how much you'll have to pay to stop me from spilling the beans and the grilled tomato and the fried bread and the scrambled egg. I'll be finished with my cooking stint round 4:30. Sometime after then, perhaps? Well, I don't know if it's important or not."
Well, guest investigators, that letter could be significant, couldn't it? Suddenly it seems that our murder victim may have been a blackmailer. Lindsay and Bob, has this new evidence turned everything you've thought of so far on its head? Bob?
Yes, it has. Yes, it has, definitely. But whether this hot little Welsh housewife was really having it off with the diminutive chef, or whether, in fact, she was trailing along to the trailer and having it off with Caroline, that I'm going to keep an open mind about
that. I see.
That,
Lindsay, are you in this steamy area?
The other thing would be whether Caroline was having it off with Nikolai, and all this talk about, oh, his ego's so big and, oh, her ego's so big, was not as it seemed.
Oh, the lady and the gentleman protesting too much.
Could be.
Yeah. I think what you probably need is a bit of supplementary questioning. And so who would you like to recall to the stand first?
We'll have Neris.
Neris, straight back to the stand. Only just left it.
Neris, when you said you were alone in Trevor Dibley's sitting room...
That's right, yes.
That was untrue, was it not? You had a companion there.
No, I didn't. I was alone.
The whole time?
The whole time.
Then how did Trevor get the idea that you were having an affair with somebody on the programme?
I wasn't having an affair. What have you taken, man? Leave of your senses.
Lindsay.
What are your relations like with your husband, good or bad?
He spends a lot of time with his mother. With his sister. I get them both mixed up. It's very Freudian. spends a lot of time with his sister in Aberdeen. He's retired now.
Why is your husband so concerned with his sister?
She's not been well since she went through the change.
So he goes up to be with her while she's going through the change?
He's not got a lady on the side?
No, no. Not at all. Might die. No, I kill him.
Right, well, thank you very much, Mrs. Jenkins. Who would you like to call to the stand, recall to the stand next?
Can we have Nikolai next?
Nikolai Bunbury-Brooks.
Ah, hello.
Hello, Nikolai. Nikolai, I'm going to ask you frankly. Are you having an affair with Caroline Searle?
Oh, good God, no. I mean, how could one spend more than 5 minutes with her? I mean, we arrive, the cameras start rolling, we start talking to each other. The cameras stop rolling, we stop talking to each other, we go our separate ways. Mm. She's a professional, but that's all can be said about her. Mm-hmm. She's more of a professional than a human being, I feel.
Right, Bob.
Yes, I get an awful whiff of sexual deviancy about this case. And I wonder whether the supposed letter from Trevor wasn't in fact hiding the fact that you and he were having it off.
Oh, really? Oh, you're falling into a regular trap. A lot of people seem to assume that I'm gay or something. I'm not.
Yeah, I wonder why that is.
No, I can't tell. I've no idea.
Thank you very much, Nikolai. And would you like to hear again from the lovely Caroline?
Oh, I think we have to hear from Caroline.
Of course do, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Caroline, I did for a moment wonder whether perhaps you might have met Neris outside the programme.
No. You see, a production meeting. When she said she hadn't met me, yes, of course, I'd never spoke to her. Of course, why would I? Nothing to say to this silly little woman. But, we have a production meeting around a table, and I'd seen her. You know, I like to have a look at the Patsies to make sure they're not going to be trouble.
Bob,
yes,
do you have a question?
I'm very interested in this, because all the real work for this programme is done by the researchers, and you prefer not to get involved with the people who are actually going to be very important in this programme, that is the ordinary people in their kitchen.
I don't need to meet them. I don't need to meet them to sparkle on camera, do I? I know my job.
So it's really a bit like foul play, where all the work is done by these BBC people who are sitting up there, and Simon Brett pounces on and takes all the credit. Is that right?
Very much like that, yes.
I thought so.
That was from the
right,
heart.
Right, I'm going to stop this cross-examination. Bob and Lindsay, that's the end of your investigation. You can't investigate any more. I'm not going to let you. So, armed with the pitiful store of information you have, you must tell me who you think murdered Trevor Dibley and ideally why, and quickly.
It's Neris in a fit of nonconformist Welsh anti-gay feeling.
Lindsay?
I'm going to go for Nikolai purely because I don't think he should have a Russian name if he's not Russian. And he would know more about how to operate the skewer, what to do with the virgin olive oil, the shallots, the baby sweet corn, and the sun-dried tomatoes.
What do you do with virgin olive oil? I don't know. Well, are you right or wrong? Let's find out what really happened as we listen to this week's Foul Play, Foul Playlet. Over we go to Neris Jenkins' kitchen during the making of mealtime makeovers. Trevor Dibley has finished cooking his meal and the entire production team has moved to the kitchen next door. Well, that is to say, most of the production team. One of them is in the larder with Trevor Dibley.
Oh, that was very nice, Trevor. It's a long time since I've done it standing up in a larder.
It's a long time since I have, actually, Caroline.
I couldn't believe it when I walked into the room and there you were.
Well, didn't you recognise my name on the script?
I never look at that stuff till I have to.
Well, perhaps we should do this more often.
Perhaps. Though I do have a lot of demands on my time. All the people round here seem to think you're gay, Trevor.
Yeah. It's a very useful front. It stops them from snooping too much into what I get up to.
And what do you get up to?
I deal in antiques.
Oh, yes. And the other stuff too, I bet. Still dealing cocaine.
You want some?
I no longer...
Shh! Someone's coming in.
They can't find me here.
I'll give you a leg up through the window.
Quick! I'll get back to you later. Mind my tights. I've only got one pair. Ow!
Ah, good afternoon. And what are you doing here?
This is my own kitchen, you know.
What are you doing with my kebab skewers?
Never mind that. You've been spreading rumours about me.
Nothing to the ones you've been spreading about me.
Well, those are true. You are a pervert. I'm not. You've been bad-mouthing me in the pub, though, I heard. You accused me of having an affair.
I didn't.
Yes, you did. I had it word for word from Dillis behind the bar.
That was a joke. For heaven's sake, I said it as a joke.
Well, people round here don't take that kind of talk as a joke.
People round here wouldn't recognise a joke if it came up and stabbed them.
Talking of stabbing, Mr. Dibley.
Shh, someone's coming in.
Oh, they can't find me here.
I'll give you a leg up through the window.
Quick, I'll get back to you later. Look, I'm not tall enough. I'm too tiny to get up through... Ow!
Ah, good afternoon, and what are you doing here?
I think you know the answer to that. What you wrote to me about on this letter, it's got to stay a secret.
Oh, I agree. It's just a matter of how much it costs to keep a secret.
Presumably you've been planning this for some time.
From the first time I saw you on television, and the more successful your career became, the more money I knew I could get out of you. And the more I heard all about the international hotels you had trained in, the more valuable I knew was the knowledge that you and I had trained together...
Don't say it.
...at the Little Chef.
I told you not to say it.
What do you want me to say instead? The diminutive cook, perhaps? No. No, put down that kebab skewer. No. No!
Take that. It serves you right, Trevor Dibley. I'll cook your goose, and then you'll get your just desserts.
So, that's what really happened. Lindsay and Bob, 100% right. Lindsay?
I sensed it.
No, well done. And as for you, Bob, well, all I can say is people who cast aspersions on the fine and fair way that this programme is put together deserve to fail. Anyway, that is it. It's the end of this week's Foul Play. My thanks, as ever, go to our superb cast, Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. And to our equally superb guest investigators, Robert Barnard and Lindsay Davis.
Foul Play was devised and written by the chairman, Simon Brett. The producer was Anne Jobson.